Israel Prevailing Prince. We're going to talk a little bit about this land, this area today. That's called the Kidron Valley. It's called the Valley of Jehoshaphat. It's called Armageddon. And that's the one of the largest battlefields. Battles have raged for centuries right there. The blood has flowed. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us in the end times that blood will flow to the horse's bridle in the Kidron Valley. Crazy place. A lot of wars have been raged right there. Going to talk a little bit about that today. Calling the message today, Israel's future. We've looked at their past. We've seen the final solution, the annihilation of a nation, supposed annihilation, and that he didn't totally get rid of all of them. Amen? It really happened, but he didn't get rid of all of them. And today, the future. Let's go to the message. Y'all ready this morning? Y'all ain't asleep, are you, say? Y'all all right? Y'all seem sleepy. You had an hour. What do you want? Come on. Here we go. The promise of a Jewish nation was first given to who? Abraham. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, unto a land that I'm going to show you. He's called the father of faith, Abraham, because he followed God, not knowing where he was going. And he followed him anyhow. And this was how the nation of Israel was formed. Verse 2, I want you to see these blessings. And I will make thee a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You shall be a blessing. Keep looking. I will bless them that bless you. I will curse them that curses you. In you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. How many have been blessed because of Jesus coming? Amen. Come on, let's praise him this morning. Come on. You'll be fine. All right. Good stuff. So this is the promise that God gave to Abraham. This promise has echoed throughout the centuries, not only through Abraham, but through Isaac, Jacob, the 12 tribes. We saw that in this series. Moses, Joshua, David. We even understood why Daniel was come on the scene in the Babylonian captivity, and many, many others. Often they were disobedient. They suffered dispersion and captivity, this nation did. Israel's history is one of pain, suffering, despair, and what? Death. Would you say that with me? Yet they still live. Come on again. Yet they still live. Prevail, baby. Amen? They're the prevailing prince. I hope you've learned that through this series. What does the name Israel mean? Prevailing, one more time, prevailing prince, okay? You need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You'll prosper if you do that. That's what the Bible teaches. It's a good thing. God blesses those that bless that land. But you need to realize they're the prevailing prince, okay? God is with them and God's calling the shots. Does it mean they're perfect? Does it mean they don't screw up? Does it mean they're all believers? No. It means God, by his own will, has chosen to use that nation. Got it in your mind, yes or no? Okay, this is God's will. And you've seen it unfold, so much of God's will and his plan and prevailing this nation, the prevailing of this nation in your lifetime. Their survival in the face of almost certain annihilation, what we saw last week, must be called what? There's just no way. On the planet, 2 out of 3 were murdered or butchered or gassed. And are you telling me they're going to come back and be a nation? How can you do that? How can you get them from all over the planet when they've been just decimated back to a land that hates them, does not want them there? It seems like that'd be crazy. You can't do that. Well, now over 2,000 years later, actually almost 2,500 years, Israel is a nation again, and they're back where? In their own land. It's a miracle, friend. You want to see a miracle? Say. You want to go to your crusade? See your miracle. Go see me. Hey, look at that. That's your miracle, friend. Miracle of miracles. God said it was so back in Genesis 12, didn't he, to Abraham? You ought to believe your Bible. When you going to start reading it? Amen? When you going to start saying, hey, I want to live for the Lord. I want this for me. I had 2 men this morning tell me they've been saved since coming here. 2 different occasions this morning, men talking to me, and they said, Pastor, I'm reading my Bible now. They're telling me about how they used to do things, and maybe sporting events, or this, that, and one told me that, you know, before I ever do that, I go and read my Bible first. I got more energy, he says, to go and do what I need to do. Good stuff. When's that going to be you? Start believing God. Amen? That's part of what this whole series has been about. To get you to say, God, He's an awesome God if He could pull this off. They're 6 million strong now, and they're growing what? Larger every day. Oh, yeah. That nation is growing. 6 million, by the way, that's how many Jews are in Israel right now. That's how many Jews that Hitler killed. You want to figure out how many Jews that is that's killed? Just take you a plane trip over to Israel, and every person, every Israeli you ever see, they're dead. He wiped out a whole, basically, the whole nation. But there they are. They're not wiped out. They're back today, 6 million strong. 12 million in the world today. Not 9 million. There was 9. There's 12 million now. And over 3 million plus in the United States. Israel's future. That's what we want to talk about today. What is Israel's future? We're going to look at some prophecy this morning and some things from the Scripture. So I hope that I've just been doing a little, you know, a little intro, but I hope you're going to listen now and wake up. Here we go. Ready? This message is going to go better if you're like, hello, alert. Okay, here we go. What is Israel's future? Here's number one. We got six. Okay, so don't faint. They're going to go. Here we go. Number one, Israel will have a great desire for peace. Would you say that with me? The first thing in their future, Israel will have a great desire for peace. We learned this scripture last week. It's good for you to put it in your noggin. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Amen? So in the last days, as things come to fulfillment of end time events, Israel is going to have a stronger desire for peace. I just want to show you a couple of things. I want to show you their Declaration of Independence in 1948. I want you just to see inside their declaration how that they want peace. Okay? 2 out of every 3 has been killed. This was written in 1948. Okay? You'd think they'd be really mad and never want peace ever, but you know what? They've been brought to a position where they really would like to have peace. They're tired of getting knocked out and tired of getting gassed, tired of getting killed. Look at their declaration. Here it is, issued in Tel Aviv on May 14, 1948. Here we go. I'm just going to read a little bit to you. The state of Israel will be open to the immigration of Jews from all countries of their dispersion. We'll promote the development of the country for the benefit of all its inhabitants. We'll be based on the precepts of liberty, justice, and peace taught by the Hebrew what? Right there in their declaration. We appeal to the United Nations to assist the Jewish people in the building of its state and to admit Israel into the family of nations. In the midst of wanton aggression, we yet call upon Arab inhabitants of the state of Israel to return to the ways of what? Peace. We offer what? Peace and amity to all neighboring states and their peoples. We invite them to cooperate with the independent Jewish nation for the common good of all. Our call goes out to the Jewish people all over the world to rally to our side in the task of immigration and development of the dream of generations, the redemption of Israel. Right inside their declaration. With the trust in who? Almighty God, we set our hand to this declaration at this session of the Provisional State Council in the city of Tel Aviv on the Sabbath eve of the fifth year of ER 5708. Hey, they go by an old calendar, amen? Look at that thing. The 14th of May, 19 what? 48. So there will be, in Israel's future, a strong desire for peace. They started out the gate that way with their Declaration of Independence. Wanting what? Peace. Have you seen the map that Raj created for us with all the Muslim nations and this one little one in the middle, the prevailing prince? Don't you think they'd like to try to live at peace over there? There's going to be a stronger and stronger and stronger desire for peace. Okay? Maybe this will help you make sense of the paper in the Middle East and what you hear. They're going to want this prophetically. Okay, so Israel is going to have a great desire for peace, but they already have a desire. We went and found out all the peace treaties. I ain't never seen a country with more peace treaties than Israel. Look at them. Protection of the Holy Place Law, the Khartoum Resolutions, UN Security Council Resolution 242, UN Security Council Resolution 338, Separation of Forces Agreements between Israel and Syria, UN Security Council Resolution 425, Camp David Accord, how many remember that one? There you go, Peace Treaty between Israel and Egypt, keep looking, there's a bunch of them, Golan Heights Law, Israel Peace Initiative, Madrid Peace Conference, Israel PLO Recognition,
Israel-Palestine Declaration of Principles, the Oslo Accord. How many heard that? Yes, you have. Israel-Jordan, Common Agenda. Gaza Strip and Jericho Agreement. Washington Declaration. Whoa, I'm wore out. Agreement of Transfer of PLO Powers. Peace Treaty between Israel and Jordan. Summit of Peacemakers. Israel-Lebanon Ceasefire. Agreement of Temporary International Presence in Hebron. The Y River Memorandum. Whoo, et cetera, et cetera. What's the point?
What's in Israel's future? There will be a strong desire for peace. Don't you think, based on what I read, don't you think that there's a strong desire for peace from Israel? Yes or no? There is a strong desire, and it's getting stronger all the time. Matter of fact, look at them. There they are, totally surrounded. See, you fortunate if you live in Ohio, aren't you? Say. Because you got all them other great United States surrounding your rump. Amen? Say. How would you like it if that's you right there? Say. How would you like it if that's your state right there, surrounded totally by enemies? Can you imagine such a thing? Wouldn't you want what? Peace. Wouldn't you want to go out with your family to a pizza parlor without a terrorist suicide bomber blowing up the pizza joint? Say. Wouldn't you like to be able to get on the subway? How many of you in America have been on a subway and it blew up with you on it? Can I see your hand? Say. Say, how many went to the Pizza Hut and it blew up last Friday night? Can I see your hand? Yes or no? How many had a Scud missile hit your house? Do you have that happen? Say, yes or no? How many have gone into the bunkers underneath? Go, you like to live like that? Yes or no? You think that have a way of trying to get you to drive? Somehow we're going to go for some peace here? Say, that's the future. That's what they want. Matter of fact, you know this is true. There seems to be almost universal agreement now for the establishment of a Palestinian state within the borders of Israel. It's not good enough. It's not good enough that all the reds all around them, now we want you to give up part of what you got too. Yes or no? Is that in the news every day almost? Of course it is. And you know what? There's almost universal agreement for it now. Making even East Jerusalem the capital of a new Palestinian state. And not only is there universal agreement, even the Israeli people now are coming on board and starting to agree. They used to have the kibbutz and settlements that they built in different locations to offer protection. They pulled back from many of those settlements now, turned them back over to the Palestinian Authority. And I don't know if you've got it. In Israel, listen to me, it's really important. I've been there many, many times. I'm not an expert by any means, but I've been there enough to know what it's like. It's not like, oh, we live in this state, and see, the Palestinian state will be up in North Carolina. No, 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 no. That's not how it works over there. Here's how it works. When there's a Palestinian state, listen to me very carefully. Israel is right here at the high school, and the Palestinian state's at Walmart. Do y'all understand? That's how close Bethlehem is to Jerusalem. Anytime we go from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, Bethlehem is under Palestinian authority. So the map's not going to be drawn with them here and here. It's going to be drawn within inside their country with crazy boundaries. And they're even willing. There's such a strong desire for peace. And now Hamas is inside the Palestinian authority. Y'all know that, yes or no? You got a boss, he's the president over here, but Hamas won the election. So now Hamas and Abbas, the president, are fighting. But they're still joined. Same goal. One wants to be a little more peaceful about it, the other one just wants to be very aggressive about it, fighting Israel. So what is the future of Israel? There will be a strong desire for what? I hope y'all got that down. You got that in your noggin? Okay, that's number one. Now, you've got to know this. This is really important. This is end time events. This is moving forward now. Before number two can happen, there's got to be number one. I think number one's checked off. I think there is a strong desire for peace. So what comes next? Israel will enter into a peace treaty. Have they entered into peace treaties in the past? Yes or no? Bunch of them. Okay. Israel will enter into a peace treaty with a world leader who promises and assures them of lasting peace and tranquility. So a world leader according to the scriptures, is going to come on the scene, and he is going to help solve the Middle East crisis. Do you think he'd be a hero today if somebody could come on the scene and do that? Yes or no? Let's look at what the Bible says. Revelation 6:2. I saw and behold a white horse. This is talking about the Antichrist. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth to conquer and to conquer. Those of us that study the scriptures and prophecy, we know this as the first of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. We did it here at Fellowship. Okay? This is the Antichrist. Not all good guys that ride a white horse are really what? Good guys. This one that comes on the scene, the Antichrist, will conquer through words, diplomacy. I don't know about you, and I'm not saying, I don't know if we're there or not. All I know is, it sure isn't far-fetched, is it? Say, I don't sound so much like a kook anymore. At least not at this moment. You know, we looked at Daniel 9 earlier. Remember in one of the messages a couple of times ago, we talked about Daniel's 70 weeks, and we looked at the timeline and all that kind of stuff, and how Jesus Christ came on the scene in AD 30. Well, this is the verse after that. There's 70-week prophecy Daniel makes. And 70 weeks is 70 times 7 years, which is 490. And if you do the math, the first 69 takes us to the time of Jesus Christ. You'll have to get the message. I can't re-preach it. However, there was 1 week left over, the 70th week. For students of the Bible and students of prophecy, that is the tribulation period. It's 7 years. How many knew the tribulation period was 7 years long? Can I see your hand? Okay. There's a world leader going to come on the scene. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week or 7 years. And in the middle of the week or in the middle of the 7 years, so what's half of 7 years? Somebody guess. 3.5 years. He shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, for the overspreading of abominations. He shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So what's going to happen? Here's what's going to happen. Hang on. Are y'all with me? I told you this could be an interesting message if we hang in here. Number one, what's Israel's future? Boy, this wire's bothering me. Ugh, like spider webs. It's scary. Anyway, here we go. Number one, Israel's future. There'll be a strong desire for peace. Hope you know this. Number two, one will come on the scene and they will make a peace agreement. Got it? That one will be the Antichrist. Who is the Antichrist? Have no idea. Are there foreshadowings of the Antichrist now and maybe in the past? Sure, I think so. I think the stage is set. Number three, Israel's future. Israel's peace treaty will hold for how long? 42 months or how many years? Just like the Bible says about the tribulation period. This is going to happen. Okay? It's going to be held for 42 months and then it's going to be broken. Have you ever heard of a peace treaty not holding in Israel? Yes or no? Okay. Bible's not sounding that far-fetched. Watch. 1 Thessalonians 5:3. For when they shall say, peace, thank you, safety, yeah. Then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. The peace treaty is going to be broken. Now, I ain't got time to get into it, but this leader is going to be standing for peace the first 3.5 years. He's going to feed armies that's going to come against Israel. But in the middle, he himself will turn on Israel. And Hitler, oh, he was just a forerunner. He was just a foreshadowing of what this one will do to those people. You listening? This is all about annihilating them. Pushing them into what? Who said that? Ahmadinejad. This is going to happen according to the scripture. This will be a treaty. It will be broken. Revelation 13:4, and they worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast. They worship the beast saying, who is like unto the beast? Who's able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking, say it with me, great things. And blasphemy, and power was given unto him to continue how long? 2 months. Okay? 3.5 years. So, Jesus says this,
When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, the one spoken by Daniel the prophet that we just read about in Daniel 9. When you see him stand in the holy place, whoso reads, let him understand. This is Jesus talking. Let him that reads, which are in Judea, flee to the mountains. Let him that's on the housetop come down. Don't take anything out of your house. Jesus speaking. Neither let him that's in the field return back to take his clothes. Woe unto them that are with child, to them that are giving suck in those days. Sounds like a bad time, doesn't it say? I thought Israel's future was a picnic. It ain't a picnic. And by the way, your future's now intertwined with this now. You think you're going to be over and you're going to just be all hunky-dory? Uh-uh. Are we already all tied up pretty tight over there in the Middle East, yes or no? I'm not trying to scare you, even though it is Halloween weekend. Here we go. Doesn't scare me. Here's what this does for me. It lets me know, my goodness, look, the Bible's the Word of God. It's true. It's happening. Could it be in my life? I don't know. No man knows when Jesus is coming again. No angel knows. Not even the Son of Man knows. But I know this. I'm to live as if He could come today or if I could die today. So that means if I live like that, I should be living a pretty good day. Amen? That's the way I'm supposed to live. So let's review real quick. Number one, they'll have a strong desire for what? Number two, a world leader will come on the scene and will confirm a peace treaty. Going to settle the problem over there. Number three, that peace treaty will hold for 42 months and then will be what? Broken. Number four, all hell's going to break loose. On this earth and the land of Israel will be decimated. This is their future. Matthew 24, 21 and 22. For then shall be great tribulation, Jesus speaking, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. War like we've never seen on this planet before will be taking place at that time. During the tribulation period. Revelation 12, 17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, with Israel, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. All hell's going to break loose on this planet. That's number four. Got it? Number five, the final battle. Say it with me. Armageddon. Can you help me one more time? The final battle. Armageddon is going to take place in the land of Israel. I know some of you listening today, and if I sit where you are and you met me for the first time especially, I know I think I was a little kooky too. Okay? And like I'm making up Armageddon. You're one of them Armageddon people. Well, you know why I believe in Armageddon? Because the Bible says so. It's not my fault that you don't believe the Bible. That's not my problem. Amen? Say. I don't understand all this. I'm trying my best up here today. I've got a prophecy writer in the audience today. Dr. Linda written books on prophecy. Okay? I'm sure he's going to fix me after I get done this morning. Amen? But, however, I don't think we're too far off here. Okay? Thank you. I got a good nod. I'm not. Thank you, Lord. Amen? Here we go. I don't need to be sensational. Back in the 60s, boy, they had to preach hell hot, and they had to preach all this stuff, and they had to put out movies and try to create it. All you got to do is go turn on the television, and you watch people now peeing on Jesus. Excuse my language. Did you see that this week in the news? Oh, yeah. Had a man call me this week and ask me about that. What can we do? And he told me he had HBO. I said, well, that's your first problem right there. Amen? Some of the crap and slop and mess against our Savior, and you don't think things are, and you look at your news every day and the world around you? How many, come on, raise your hand, be honest with me, you never thought you'd see the things happen that you're seeing in your life today. That's like 95%! So I don't have to be outlandish today. I just got to show the Scripture and you can connect the dots. I don't need to. The final battle's going to take place. Revelation 16. Where is that Armageddon stuff, preacher? Glad you asked. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together in a place called in the Hebrew tongue, say it with me,
Armageddon. Does it really exist? Oh, yeah. Welcome to Armageddon. There you are. And you might say, well, that's not that big. Oh, my goodness, that's just the start of it. It goes all the way to Jerusalem. This is the little hill of Megiddo. Me and Joy have been there many times. She and I went years ago before. I didn't guess it was only illegal. We picked up little pieces of pottery, remember? Little old broken pieces of stuff. Now it's, oh, you can't do that. Don't grab nothing. Well, we didn't know. We grabbed it. Laying in the dirt, people just walking on it. A final battle's going to take place here. It's called the Mount of Megiddo. Armageddon, the Mount of Megiddo. There's a picture of it where the archaeologists have unearthed this. Megiddo is a small mountain in Israel today. It overlooks the Mediterranean Sea and also this great valley. It's huge. Reminds me of like some gigantic football field that just won't quit. This great valley's already been a battlefield for many conquerors throughout the ages. They've been there. This to you might not matter because you live in America. But this has been one of the major trade routes and places of war down through the ages. The Bible says there's going to be a final battle that's going to take place here. This great valley is going to be the focal point of the final conflict. This is in their future. I love this passage. It's strong. Listen to it. Joel 3. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords, your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves, come all ye heathen. Gather yourselves together round about. Thither calls thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be awakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. This is this valley. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put you in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow. Their wickedness is great. This crazy verse, one of my favorites in the Bible, it's very unusual. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of... I tell you what, there's coming a battle like you've never seen before in Israel's future. It's decision time. You ought to be making some decisions now. You believe in Jesus or no? I don't know that. I believe in myself. Well, yourself ain't going to fly. There's given one name whereby we must be saved. That's the name Jesus Christ. We've gotten so weak, the church, many of us. Well, you know, they're good people. I know they teach false doctrines and false religions, but they're okay, and I'm sure they're so good God will let them in. That's a false heresy. That is a lie. One name, Jesus Christ. One died on the cross, Jesus Christ, for your sins. One rose from the dead. One's seated at the right hand of God making intercession for you right now. And that one is coming again. Okay? It's going to happen. Matter of fact, this big old battle is going to take place. And matter of fact, Jesus is the one that's coming back and he's going to end it all. He's going to rule and reign 1,000 years. That's what the Bible teaches. It's hard to understand. It's hard for me to understand. But it helps me understand Psalm 2 a little bit better. Here this battle's going on. Look, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against the anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast away their cords from us. And this is what God says. He that sits in the heavens shall what? The Lord shall have them in derision. And this final battle is going to take place right there. That's part of their future. And their Messiah, our Savior Lord, is coming again. It's what the Bible teaches. Do I understand it? I don't understand how he came the first time. Amen? But I believe it by faith that he was born of a virgin. He lived on this earth. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. He seated the right hand of God the Father. The Bible teaches he's coming back in the clouds and there's going to be a rapture that's going to take place at the church. The Bible also teaches that he's coming again actually to this earth, and it's at this time right here. Does that make any sense to anybody in the building? Number 6, Jesus Christ will literally return and defeat the enemies of God and will bring real peace to Israel and the world. It's going to happen. Look at Revelation 19. I love the scripture. You might wonder, why do we call him that? Where'd that come from? This name we call Jesus, you'll see it right here. And I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse. Now remember, all good guys don't ride on a white horse. But some do. Amen? Here comes Jesus on a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. His head were many crowns. I'm going to say it again, don't want to be ugly. No peeing on a picture this time, friend. You listening to me say? I know that's ugly. I'll get in trouble for it when I get home. No, not really. But listen, isn't that horrible? Say yes or no. In case you didn't see that, a guy goes and does that to a picture. It's on the news this week. Right on HBO. Big show. Probably some of y'all even watch this crap. Listen to me. Then a lady comes in and sees this urine coming out of the eye of Jesus and thinks it's some kind of special thing sent from God, and she worships the photo. Oh, bless Jesus. Oh, he's coming back. Did y'all hear me or not? Eyes as a flame of what? That's our God is a consuming fire. Does the Bible say that, yes or no? It says it. His head were many crowns. His name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture, say it with me, dipped in blood. His name is called the what? Word of God. Keep listening, come on. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. These crazy scriptures, aren't they? This is my God. You hear who I'm reading about there, yes or no? This is my God now. This is my God who sits on the right hand of God the Father making intercession for poor, pitiful old Gary Clark. Isn't that pretty cool say? That's my God. And I love this verse. And on his vesture, and on his thigh, name written, say it with me, King of kings and Lord of lords. Don't you love that? And it had all to do with this, what we're talking about today. Israel's future. They're the prevailing prince. Okay? How should you live based on what we saw this morning? And I know I'm just a smidgen late, but Jason was here today. Y'all remember Jason? Harmonica player, took all the time. Here we go. Hang on. Pastor, you blew my mind. You're going crazy on me. Well, I'm just telling you the Israel's future according to the Bible. How should we live knowing what we've been learning? Glad you asked. 1 Thessalonians 5. I'm just going to be a reader. It's a great chapter in the Word of God that should encourage you today. Here we go. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. We don't know. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. You shouldn't hear a message like this today and go out and be fearful. You're not in darkness. That day should overtake you as a thief. You're children of what? Light. And the children of the day, we're not of night. And we're not of darkness. Therefore, let us not what? Sleep, as do others, but let us watch. Wake up, church! And be sober! For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, who are of Christ, be sober. Put on the breastplate of faith and love. And for a helmet, the hope or confidence of salvation. Y'all listen? Hey, I'm getting a little encouraged here. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to get off here. I hope Jesus comes before the tribulation period. There are many good, godly, biblical scholars who believe he will come somewhere in the middle, a pre-wrath. I don't know, friend. Here's what I do know. He died for me.
and whether I am alive or I'm dead, I've got hope because I'm going to live together with Jesus Christ. Amen? Say. Come on, let's praise the Lord right there. Come on. That's what I'm talking about. So listen. So how should, knowing the times, how should we live? How should I live then, preacher? I'm glad you asked. I'm just reading, and Raj is going to give you a list. Well, I'm going to read the Bible, and he's going to give you the list. Here's how you should live, church. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together. This is how we should be living. Edify one another. It means build one another up. Stop tearing each other down. That's pathetic. In the times we live, that day's over, friend. Come on. We beseech you, brethren, know those which labor among you, who are over you in the Lord, who admonish you. You at this church should get to know me. You should get to know the others that serve you in this church. That should be part of who you are. Y'all listening or not? Oh, I just come on Sunday. I don't really care. Well, you know what? That's horrible. We shouldn't live like that. We should come, we should know, we should care for one another, know one another, appreciate one another in the times in which we live. Amen? If you want to go to a church that has church fights and mess, you done picked the wrong one. We just don't do it. Amen? We love each other. Esteem them very highly, those that serve you, for their love, for their work's sake. And look at this one. Be at peace with one another. How should I live knowing what I know, preacher? Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient to all men. I want you to look at that right there. I want you to know that's really what fellowship's about right there. This is Fellowship Church. It was Roger Johnson that told me when we were putting the message, because he sees me work with people at the office and at church. We've got the unruly here. We've got people, their mind ain't right sometimes. That's the truth. We got people who are weak. We got people who tick me off. And I know I tick you off sometimes. But this is how I'm supposed to be with folk. Amen? Say, I could get up here and just preach some mealy little talk this morning. It's my job to warn you. Did you know that or not? Say. This is us, man. All this is in the body of Christ here at Fellowship. That's how we're supposed to live. We ain't supposed to kick these folk out. We're supposed to try to work with them. Amen? Come on. See that none render evil for evil. But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and all men. This is how we're supposed to live, friend. Rejoice evermore, knowing the time. Pray constantly. In everything, do what? Give thanks. I thought these were just little verses in the Bible that God told me I was supposed to do this. They're all related to last days. Did y'all know that or not? This all is about last day living, friend. Good stuff. Quench not the what? Holy Spirit in your life. Don't take Him for granted. He's working inside you. Despise not prophesying. I don't like Clark. He talks about prophecy. Don't despise it. Be glad you get a chance to hear it. Maybe it'll make some sense of our world we live in. Maybe it'll help you be pure and walk for Jesus. Amen? Prove all things. Don't just take things I say up here. You get in the Word and prove it. Amen? Hold fast. Don't quit. Don't give up. Amen? Come on. This is how I'm supposed to live. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Churches years ago took this verse and they said, man, if your hair is too long, you got to have long hair because that's evil. And if you wore pants, ladies, that's evil. Abstain from that. That's evil. How stupid we were. That kind of stuff don't matter a whit. But in the times we live in, friend, we should abstain from evil. Amen? Evil has no place in your life and in my life and in the church's life today. Y'all listening, yes or no? Well, I'm going to be evil. I'm going to be with Jesus. No, you ain't. You're not. Abstain from that mess. Lose those Mickey Mouse rules and get with a real program and know what evil is and stay away from it. Amen? Know this. This is the last thing. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calls you Say that with me. And also will do. You can take it to the bank. There's a future for Israel. There's a future laid out in the Word of God. Hey, it's a little rough ride along the way, but don't you be discouraged. You're not children of the night. You're not children of darkness. You are children of light. Amen? We've been set as a city on a hill. Let your light so shine before men that they may glorify God the Father when they see your good works, that they can glorify God. Amen? That's our call as the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's praise the Lord for His Word this morning. Amen? Thank you, Lord.